When you are dead, you are dead. And of course, there are various ideas of immortality that range from the religious to the sentimental memories that all live on. The New York Times confers a certain immortality, as it did in this obituary for Jack Kevorkian, the helpful doctor, "Hey, can I hold the door to oblivion for you, pal?" who at 83 made it into the obit section on June 3rd, 2011.
When the light dims and your sight dims and you're ready to go, anesthesia and the seizures.
I guess I'm trying to see the world from through the eyes of someone who has just recently passed away and whose spirit is in the air.
Yasha Hoffman, speaking there, has come up with something to add to the notion of immortality. He's a former freelance obit writer. He's also a songwriter. He wrote this Kevorkian song, Mercy Machine. He also writes the Scan column on science and the arts for the New York Times. This collection of songs is called Afterneath, musical gems inspired by, and in some cases literally, the obits themselves.
Yeah, I was writing these occasional freelance obituaries of scientists for the New York Times. And then I was also trying to write songs, working on my third album as a songwriter, and finding myself just coming up short when it came to character and story and narrative. Like, everything from my life felt like a little too familiar. But when I would try to invent something from whole cloth, it would just seem forced. And so I was looking around, you know, like screenplays and various source material, just hoping to open things up a little bit. And I think at one point, my editor at the time sent me a book that was a collection of all the obituaries of the last year of the New York Times. And I opened it up and I was just like, this is it.
All right, well, let's see how that works with the song, The Atom Bomb.
As the sky pulled up inward, she was pressed to the sand, like an ocean above her, God's left hand. When it hit Hiroshima, she was out of her heart. So she boarded a steamer, the red, red star.
It's about a woman named Joan Hinton, who was a Manhattan Project physicist at a very young age in her 20s. And she got so disillusioned with the work that she had done after the bombs were dropped. She left the United States and she went to China.
So she worked for the chairman and she lived on a farm. And she raised up her children to fear the bomb. The reactors are humming as she plays violin. When the big one is coming, she keeps on breathing.
So her story, it felt so rich with so much, not just her own life, but with this whole arc of the 20th century.
The 20th century is where all these characters lived and died. And as you accumulate each one of these songs and each one of these obits, does the century emerge in some way?
Yeah. You know, to my surprise, I felt like it did. Like at first, I was assuming this would end up being a sort of morbid exercise because all of these, many of these people's lives have something to do with death, too. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, Jack Kevorkian, a proponent of euthanasia, Joan Hinton, you know, sort of accidentally invents a weapon of destruction. But I felt like there was a span of the late 20th century that was just getting captured over and over again. And it was like not so much focusing on the people, but seeing the world that these people lived in and helped to make in their own ways. You know, a model airplane builder who was the first to send a radio-controlled model airplane over the entire Atlantic Ocean at the age of 80-something.
Is that one of the songs here?
That was, yeah, that's the second song on the album.
Which song?
It's called The Little Airplane.
The Little Airplane.
Yeah.
6-inch wings in the kitchen, pulling up above the silverware. Little airplane taking the air now.
All of us are living, at every moment, we're sort of losing a particular generation of people. You know, and it's easy to sort of not be aware of that, but then you look back and you're like, 10 years ago, there were all these people who lived through the Depression who were just alive and well.
Mm.
And now today, you know, that number is a lot smaller and it's sort of this invisible loss. And I found myself by mistake sort of falling in love with that loss.
I love the layering here because you have the straight obit, you've got the musical sort of elegy on top of it, then you've got the video, which sort of gives you this sort of archival quality. And it really does capture that feeling when I read an obit, I'm constantly having the experience of, oh, that's the person who did that. Or, oh, so that's where that came from. And, you know, who for 80 years was the president of blah, blah, blah company, you know, that or, made widgets.
Or the guy who invented the Dorito.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He almost made it on the record.
Yeah. and he almost made it on the record.
Yeah. This close.
Not quite. There's not much that rhymes with Dorito, I guess. Something like that. Yeah. So you're walking a fine line here. I mean, the song The Freezer is really something that, you know, makes a song about a pretty horrible circumstance in human history.
It's true. And I've spent some time thinking about that, and you know, whether it's possible to do anything after or in response to something as kind of unfathomably terrible as the Cambodian genocide or any genocide or any killing, really.
Well, let's see if it is possible. Okay. Let's listen to The Freezer.
I was a slim survivor in the land of the bone and skin. Just the husk of a painter when they lock the outside in.
That is pretty chilling, I have to say.
I didn't really have any intention of tackling anything as big as the Cambodian genocide. I mean, why would you try to write a pop song about that? It just sounds like a ridiculous exercise.
Have we taken everyone?
Really attracted to this guy, his story of, you know, growing up poor in the countryside, going to painting school, but then being forced to work to support his family, and then while he was working in a rice field in 1978, getting arrested for reasons that weren't disclosed to him, and being held in a prison camp for over a year under excruciatingly just kind of unspeakable conditions, seeing interrogations, seeing executions, and then, you know, strangely being liberated and devoting his life to documenting what had happened and to holding the perpetrators accountable and to making this really haunting, strangely affecting art that, in a way, was his only and best response to what happened to him.
Well, I have to say, you know, these are obits and homages without sentimentality, very simple, and in some sense, they have more power as a result of that.
Thank you.
Yasha Hoffman is a songwriter who also writes the Scan column on science and the arts for the New York Times. His new album of songs composed from obituaries is called The Afterneath. Think about that.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.